Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, today's show is brought to you in part by Omaha Steaks. Make home your favorite new restaurant this winter with Omaha Steaks delivered straight to your door. Have you ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so good? I think about this all the time. Well, here's the answer for you. It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks are aged at least 21 days. That's where the magic happens. Try these mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Bestsellers package. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code VOICES into the search bar to save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing just for you. Included in the Butcher's Bestsellers package are 4 iconic fork tender butcher's cut filet mignons, 4 ultra juicy burgers, 4 savory pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, my favorite thing in the world, and so much more. In addition to getting more than 50% off, you also get 4 more chicken breasts and 4 more of those delicious burgers for free. All you have to do is visit omahasteaks.com, type VOICES in the search bar to order the Butcher's Bestsellers package today. Save over 50% plus get 4 free chicken breasts and 4 burgers, all from the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years. That's omahasteaks.com, type VOICES in the search bar. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Status report. Known super criminals not currently in prison.
The Penguin.
That pompous, waddling master of foul play, maestro of a million criminal umbrellas. The Joker.
Divilish clown prince of crime. Oh, if I only had a nickel for every time he's baffled us.
What, the Riddler loose too?
So it seems. Loose to plague us with his criminal conundrums.
Gosh! And the Catwoman.
End of status report.
Could be any one of them, but which ones?
Pretty fishy what happened to me on that ladder.
You mean where there's a fish, there could be a penguin.
But wait! It happened at sea. See? Sea for Catwoman!
Got an exploding shark. Was pulling my leg.
The Joker.
All adds up to a sinister riddle.
Riddler.
Riddler? Thought strikes me. So dreadful, I scarcely dare give it utterance.
The 4 of them. Their forces combined.
Holy nightmare. Batman, could it be?
I don't know. But I think I know where to find a clue. Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
I know some of you think that there was a scene from the Batman 1966 movie. That was Department of Justice right now talking about the insurrection, except for the exploding shark part. But I don't recall seeing an exploding shark during the insurrection, so at least there's that. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, March 18, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 58 of the Biden-Harris administration, 599 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter, BobSeska_go. Oh, and look, here they come. It's my very own Justice League. Yeah. And of course, everyone's going to complain that I'm using the Avengers music with the Justice League setup.
Yeah, Bob, you're going to get mail. You're going to get mail.
I know, but you can never out-nerd me. Ever, ever, ever. I am the king of all nerds. All right. Speaking of nerds, it is Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, from the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com, along with all of the other Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs, all of your favorites. It is your podcasting superstation, of course, and David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/T-Rex Report, also astralsummer.bandcamp.com for all of his music. Okay, Goth Ninja, so much to talk about today. Yeah, hi.
I gotta say, though, if there had been an exploding shark at the insurrection, Ron Johnson wouldn't have been scared of it because it wasn't black.
Exactly.
That's right. America needs to laugh. They should have brought an exploding shark to the insurrection. My God, what kind of supervillains are these people? Jesus. Well, speaking of supervillains, Vladimir Putin has his head has flown over Alaska. What was it that Sarah Palin said about Vladimir Putin about his?
Oh yeah, she could see him from her house, but
right.
His head was looming over.
Rearing his ugly
head or some crap like that.
Did you just censor yourself? You know you can say shit on this show, Jody.
It's a habit.
I know. You
this
heard,
is why I've yet to be dumped on Stephanie's show.
Oh my God, you've never been dumped on Stephanie Miller's
no,
show? Holy shit. Well, we have to remedy that.
I haven't even been a panelist.
Stephanie's
on
like,
Stephanie's
shut up,
show.
Shut up. Don't encourage her, Bob. But it seems like that's like a rite of passage now. I mean, hell, Kimberly got her two swears in right away.
Immediately. I mean, good God, that woman, then that potty mouth that she has.
Yeah, such a dirty, dirty mouth.
That's what you love about her in the fridge.
That's exactly right. A dirty mouth in the refrigerator. That's me. Nothing turns me on more. Okay, so what were you talking about? Vladimir Putin, Sarah Palin, right. Something about his head, Alaska, something in space? I'm not sure. But in all seriousness, Putin actually threatened Joe Biden today. Did you hear this?
Yeah.
Putin responded to Biden after the president called the Russian president a killer. And then Putin said, I wish you good health. Yeah. That from Vladimir Putin, a guy who's poisoned guys with polonium. Yeah, I would take that pretty seriously. I would take that as a threat against the president.
Yeah.
And Vladimir Putin doesn't seem like the funny man, doesn't seem like the jokester to me. It's not like he's kidding around. Not like, hey, we should call him Shecky or something because he's so funny. But that's not a joke.
Surely our hackers are as good as theirs. I don't understand why we, like the U.S. isn't waging mayhem on their cyber infrastructure. Or maybe they are and we just don't know about it.
We are. Remember Barack Obama, right before he left office, said that he has deployed or embedded little things in their infrastructure ready to be triggered if they screw around again. And, of course, I'm sure Donald Trump dismantled all of that shit, mm-hmm. rolled all of that back. And I hope that Joe Biden is redeploying it. But, of course, he probably is, given what Joe Biden has said this week. He said he promised that Putin is going to pay a price for his efforts to undermine the 2020 election. This is following the ODNI report, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. When asked what the consequences would be, Biden replied, "You'll see shortly."
He's about to go through some things.
Yeah. That's another one of these. I'm so glad that we have a president now who is going to call Putin on his shit. And remember that Putin ultimately, I mean, apart from how sinister he is and the active measures that he's deployed against the United States, remember Putin is in a very weak position. His economy sucks. He has really nothing to hang his hat on other than the fact that he's been able to steal all these elections and remain in power for so long. So he is a very vulnerable guy, and this is all he has left in terms of mm-hmm. his aggression toward the United States. But this ODNI report was so revealing on so many levels, and you can kind of weave this into some other items in the news, including what happened in your home state there, David, on Tuesday with these, what are obvious to me as being
actually,
hate crimes.
Can I just get really serious for a second and say to any of our listeners who are Asian American or of Asian descent or who have Asian American or Asian descent people in their families, we see you. I love you. I'm sorry this is happening. It hurts to see our country be so fucking racist about everything. I mean, it's always like, huh, why is this thing weird about America? Oh, racism.
Yeah.
You know, but it just, you know, there's been kind of an erasure of Asian people as people of color because we talk about people and we talk about brown and black people. We don't include Asians as much, but we don't think about, like, you know, with, I think most Americans have this concept of Asians as like crazy rich Asians. You know, they don't understand that there are, you know, lots and lots of Asian people here living in poverty, in deplorable working conditions. And, you know, I just feel like, and that fucking sheriff who's just like, well, he had a bad day and this is what happened. Yeah. I'm just going to go kill some people whose lives don't matter to me because they're different. I mean, it just.
Yep. Yeah, and it's systemic, David. This is not just hillbillies with their white hoods and their burning crosses. These are people who are now in control of giant sections of the American government and the American media as well. If you roll in people like Tucker Carlson, who is one of the most racist motherfuckers to ever step foot on television. I mean, bar none in the history of television, Tucker is right up there as one of the most racist. I was thinking about this the other day, especially after John Oliver's report. Sunday night, is that it doesn't matter whether it's genuine, because on one hand, Tucker Carlson is an empty vessel and his producers are injecting whatever nonsense, racist awfulness into his mouth.
His children producers. I don't know if you saw that one. He was like, most of the people who work on this show, who are kids, he said.
What?
Tucker, he was, when kids? He talked about, he had a thing he did, it was on John Oliver if you watched it on Sunday.
Yeah, I watched
where
that.
Where Tucker was like talking about when his staff was, when he was, you know, we had only been in the air for 6 months. We were accused of being white supremacists, whatever that means.
Yeah, you know, whatever that means, right? Yeah.
Most of the people who work on this show who were kids, and that's what John Oliver is like, I'm sorry, you little dirty rascals, but and then you had to be involved in this.
Well, it's all now being legitimized by these figures who are extraordinarily prominent. Obviously, Donald Trump and all of his disciples and Tucker Carlson and all the rest of it. All of AM talk radio is now repeating this nonsense. And it all stems from really patient zero in the rise of, for lack of a better term, what I would consider to be public racism. You know, where before you had the Lee Atwater thing, where everything was disguised behind dog whistles and very subtle, still recognizable to those who are paying attention, but quite subtle.
That got a little too complicated to process for the base.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
when most of your voters have the IQ of potatoes, you can't be subtle.
But now it's just out there. They're just letting their racist flag fly, and we're seeing the consequences of that now, where they feel like, okay, well, we can do this shit out in the open now because Donald Trump was president. To the point where during the Capitol insurrection, for example, most of them weren't even wearing masks. I mean, and historically, even going back to the post-Reconstruction Jim Crow era, they would wear masks.
They had the sense to cover their faces.
Yeah, they would wear the hoods because they were ashamed to be seen, their identities exposed, and so on. And then there was a fear aspect to those costumes as well. But mainly, it was about disguising their faces so they could still go to church on Sunday and not be seen as sinister or evil. But the fact is that now they don't need that crap. They were out there with their faces exposed during the insurrection. It's one of the reasons why so many of them have been able to be picked up, because, you know, there was the one guy with the giant beard and the, what was it, the Auschwitz t-shirt that he was wearing? The face entirely exposed. They don't care. They're proud of their racism. They think now that they're their own subculture, and they feel like they deserve respect or something. We are who we are, and go fuck yourself if you don't like it. And so that's, I think, manifesting itself in all of this anti-Asian crime, all these anti-Asian hate crimes that we've been seeing over the past several months, of course, culminating in what happened in Atlanta on Tuesday. But there's also this other element of what Donald Trump has incited. And I think you can draw a direct line from the things that Donald Trump has said, especially over the past year, if not the past 4 years, and these crimes like what happened in Georgia on Tuesday. So, for example, you have obviously the COVID dimension, where Donald Trump, in order to defend himself against being blamed for his incompetence in allowing this to reach 500,000 deaths, calling the virus the China virus, trying to get that to stick, blaming China for it, that when they sent it over from China. I mean, he actually has been saying, when they sent us the virus from China, you know, as if China just said, here, America, here's this virus, take it. And
signed, sealed, delivered,
go
it's
fuck
yours.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that element to it where he's blaming the pandemic entirely on China. And of course, his red hat followers are going, yes, of course, it is China. China virus. China, China, China.
China.
And then on top of that, there was this ODNI report, and you're asking yourself, well, how the hell am I segueing the ODNI report with all of these anti-Asian hate crimes? Well, we also know that the Trump administration, including Trump himself, including Bill Barr, including John Ratcliffe, including Robert O'Brien, all of these characters inside the Trump administration, I just named his attorney general, his national security advisor, Trump himself, all of these top-level characters inside the Trump administration were saying throughout the election that China was helping Joe Biden win. China was in the process of active measures against the United States to influence the election. And according to this ODNI report, no. China didn't do a goddamn thing. China sat this one out. They talked about it a little bit, apparently, according to the intelligence community, but they didn't do anything. It was Russia. It was Iran. It was several other smaller countries that tried to, I think Venezuela was in there too, trying to deploy active measures against the United States. Again, this is Donald Trump and his administration, his former administration, targeting Asians and saying, you know, through this incendiary language about China, whether it's regarding the virus, the pandemic, or the election itself. So there it is, on top of an insurrection against the Capitol building, on top of the insurrections against the various state government buildings a year ago, on top of the insurrection into that top secret skiff in the House of Representatives where the House Intelligence Committee was meeting and those Republicans barged their way through those doors. All of those insurrections, we now have this, I mean, I keep saying it, we might be done with Donald Trump, but Donald Trump isn't done with us. And we see it manifesting itself in these anti-Asian hate crimes, including what happened in Georgia. Just utterly tragic. But there's another dimension to this ODNI report that I want to mention. And it's by way, you know, I mentioned this on Fugelsang's show on Wednesday night, but it bears repeating. There is something that is so utterly shameful about this report. And what I mean specifically about that is none of these active measures would have worked. None of these active measures, I think, would have been deployed if the American people, if a good percentage, maybe upwards of half of American voters, weren't such suckers who were entirely incapable of absorbing and digesting information. All of these countries, including some of these smaller countries, are like, oh my God, the United States is open for business. We can walk in and we can tell the American people what we want them to know, what we want them to do, and they will fucking do it because they are suckers. I'd love to know the Russian word for suckers. I'd love to know the Iranian word, the Persian word for suckers, because those are the words that are getting bandied around inside the intelligence services of those countries.
It's a generational divide in a lot of ways, because I feel like kids today, the youth, as I like to call them, very savvy about what's trying to manipulate them and what's trying to advertise to them. And it really is, when you look at the numbers of the people on social media who have been disinformation vectors, it's so many people over 65. Mm-hmm. So many people, just because they're like, they're used to, like, if I read it in actual print, it must be true.
Right. But that's so, I mean, that may be part of it, but there's also, I think, a younger demographic. All of these younger white men who compose groups like the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Boys and the Oath Keepers and all these guys who are, you know, on Amazon.com buying tactical gear that they see advertised on Facebook, and they're sharing memes. I don't think it's exclusively a boomer thing. I think it's a younger generation thing.
I think those
too.
Guys, the media makes them look bigger than they are. Mm-hmm. And I know that from, you know, being in the media, every time that 33 white supremacists show up for a public demonstration, you get like 300,000 counter protesters.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the vast majority of people in this country are not, I mean, everybody in the country carries subconscious racist biases that they're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But on the whole, the percentage of people who are willing to storm into the Capitol and be and shit and, you know, fire bear spray at cops is still vanishingly small.
Well, let me throw this into the mix here in discussing who some of these people are who believe this Russian disinformation and so on, who are susceptible to all of this. Because there was one section of the ODNI report that was that set off all kinds of alarm bells for me. And I'm referencing specifically certain online influencers, people who seem to identify as part of the left, but who are actually being manipulated by Russian intelligence to spread all of this disinformation about. And in this case, if it's coming from Russia, it's disinformation about Joe Biden, because that was the entire intent of Russia. Iran was looking to help Joe Biden. In fact, so that's right. How the balance of that works out. But you have to take into consideration the fact that Iran is pretty new to this. They don't have the sophisticated apparatus that Russia has. So I think there was a big difference there. Nevertheless, according to this report, let me read this one section here. Russian state media, trolls, and online proxies, including those directed by Russian intelligence, published disparaging content about President Biden, his family, and the Democratic Party, and heavily amplified related content circulating in the United States media, including stories centered on his son. This, of course, is a Hunter Biden laptop story. These influence actors frequently sought out U.S. contributors to increase their reach into U.S. audiences. In addition to election-related content, these online influence actors also promoted conspiratorial narratives about COVID-19, made allegations of social media censorship, and highlighted U.S. divisions surrounding protests about racial justice. Then, influence actors sometimes sought to discourage U.S. left-leaning audiences from voting by suggesting that neither candidate was a preferable option. Does that sound familiar? I think it does. Mm-hmm. We've heard that all over certain cliques on the left. At the same time,
certain swimming pool socialists come to mind.
Yes, thank you. That's a great way to put it. This one section about, you know, trying to say that both parties are the same, U.S. left-leaning audiences being targeted. I still believe that there are a considerable number of left influencers who are also involved in all of this, who are being paid to amplify certain things. And they may not even know it. That's the crazy thing about this, because there are lots of hops. There are lots of buffas, as they say in Godfather Part Two, where it could be some innocuous third party organization or whatever that says, yeah, we have this money and we need to spread around our reach a little bit here. We need to increase our visibility. So let's hire some influencers to say certain things to get people to pay attention to our whatever, our 538 or whatever the organization might be. But that money might be coming through several hops before it even gets to that organization, starting in Russia or some other, you know, foreign intelligence service that needs to inject itself into the American election. So don't just look at what's happening on AM talk radio or Breitbart or Fox News Channel or whatever Trump apparatchik appears on any of those formats. We also have to look at the left as well, because quite clearly, I mean, if I were doing it, if I was Vladimir Putin or if I was in charge of the Russian GRU and some of their affiliates, holy shit, I would be doing that. I would be, of course, I would be paying left-leaning influencers to help spread the message, too.
Of course.
Because the whole idea, isn't it? The whole idea is chaos. The whole idea is, well, and that was one of the reasons why they love Donald Trump so much in Russia, because it's the chaos that they want. They want the scrambling of the democratic system to the point where it begins to fall apart, where the foundation of it begins to wobble. The whole idea is to say, well, this democracy thing, maybe not the best idea for you guys. And then we go, yeah, maybe it's not the best idea for us. It is so discouraging to know how impressionable we are. And when I say we, I don't mean to generalize everybody, but I mean enough people to make a difference, enough people to make Q a thing, enough people to make Trump a thing, to the point where he gets elected, where he goes through 4 years, a fucking nightmare, a fucking disaster, 500,000 people dead, going on 600,000, and he was able to increase his number of votes in his reelection campaign from his first election. My God, what the fuck does that say about us? that we can be manipulated to the point of giving Donald Trump even more votes than he had before, after he was responsible for killing a large part of the, you know, nearly 600,000 people who have died from COVID. And that just begins to skim the surface of, obviously, his long, long rap sheet of crimes, misdeeds, destruction, upending political institutions, and so on. There's so many different things. Of course, with the ODNI report, there's still the added dimension that, yeah, all the shit that was happening in 2016, for the most part, yep. I mean, there were a couple of things they didn't do in 2020, but it just continued on. It just, no matter what happened, no matter the fact
that— We knew that. You knew that. We've talked about it the whole time, that it's ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the ongoing and clear and present danger. Like, I mean, we've talked about
it. Well, the thing that's different about this is it's actually Trump's DNI that had the report, and they held it.
Yep.
Excuse me. Mm. I'm fine. I'm
okay?
Here.
Do you need the Heimlich?
Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's okay. It's fine.
No,
little tab.
I just need to use my Navage. That's what's interesting about it, and unfortunately, as far as I'm concerned, it's being underreported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, God knows we got to talk about Major the dog.
Yeah, he's right. A good boy.
Yeah, all of that. Again, that's the kind of shit that gets amplified by, intelligence services like the FSB and the GRU. That's what they love, shit like that. When it comes down to a story like Dr. Seuss or Mr. Potato Head, this is the shit that they love to amplify, because as long as the focus is on these culture war things, it's so funny how similar the approach by the Russian GRU is to the programmers at Fox News Channel. It's almost like they're symbiotic. Isn't that amazing how that happens? Isn't that weird how that happens?
Well, don't you? I mean, I get the sense that it's sort of like one big pool of crooks when it comes to people like, Rupert Murdoch and the Russian oligarchs and Rudy Giuliani and all these men that look like potatoes, Lev and Igor.
Yeah.
And Konstantin Kalimnik.
Oh, yeah. Kalimnik's all over this report, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so he was still heavily involved. Konstantin Kalimnik, still heavily involved in the attack on the United States into the 2020 election, through and including the 2020 election. This was the guy that they were talking about as Manafort's man in Kyiv during the 2016 election. This was the go-between between the Trump campaign. I'm talking about Kalimnik here. He was the go-between, the fixer between the Trump campaign and Oleg Deripaska. Oleg fucking Deripaska. Jesus Christ. I mean, right there, he might as well have a direct phone line to Vladimir Putin's bathroom, for God's sake.
Yeah. Fucking Kushner was trying to set up a back channel communication story to the Kremlin. I mean, it's all been there in plain sight. And it just...
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how frustrating it is to be an intelligence analyst.
Analyst. Thank you. That's the word.
Analysisist. But to just be like saying, once again, it's, Konstantin Kalimnik, Oleg Deripaska. I know you've heard this before, but we're just going to underline it one more time because we keep telling you. Maybe if we just keep repeating it enough, it will stick. But
Yeah. I mean, the only solution I can think of to all of this is maybe a solution we can get some Republicans to agree. Maybe we can get even Don Jr. to agree with this. Is you got to fucking regulate the social media companies. You got to add a layer of some kind of firewall there, so we don't have this constant influx of Russian bots and trolls, plus the people who, and this is the real challenge. I mean, it's one thing to stop the Russian bots and trolls from infiltrating conversations inside the United States surrounding the election on social media, but it's another thing entirely. And this is, to me, one of the biggest challenges in all of this. How do we stop the flow of money into the hands of some domestic influencers? I mean, we're talking about small C confederates of the Russian attackers who are helping Russia. And as I said before, they may not know, or they may know it, but there's also a chance that they may not even realize it. How do we stop that flow of money and influence?
Fucking senators. Yeah. You know, Ron Johnson is a Russian, I mean, basically, like, he's Russia's butt plug at this point. I mean, he really just, like...
just there's the title of the show, Russia's butt plug.
Thank you, yes. Of course it is. Of course it's the title of the show. How could it not be the title of the show now?
It drives me crazy. I mean, and but I mean, it's, I mean, so much of Republican politics at this point is performance art. I mean,
yeah. Yes.
Ted Cruz wheezing and puffing his way through his Sam Kinison impression at CPAC is the real Republican Party. They don't believe in governing. They don't, but they just want to troll. They want to make the liberals cry, and they want to do, you know, and like Kevin McCarthy down at the border talking about Biden's inhumane policies toward immigrant children. I mean, if that isn't enough to make you want to put your head through a windshield, it's just like, Jesus Christ. And have you ever noticed how much Kevin McCarthy and Matt Schlapp look alike?
They both have the white hair.
Kind of petrified, poorly taxidermied koala look.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think Matt Schlapp looks a little bit more like the Shmoo to me, and less like. You remember the Shmoo? Remember the cartoon Shmoo?
Oh, he's
just a white blob with whiskers. That's Matt Schlapp. So utterly white. That's what Matt Schlapp
is. Do you guys
is.
Get the same, like, super closeted vibe off of Schlapp that I do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he is just one diamond ring away from being a Dallas hairdresser. Like, it's just...
Well, you know, there is
poor
that...
Mercedes, you know, and she's just like one of those altos that mistakenly married the choir director, and she's just going to get bigger and bigger. She doesn't get laid.
Right. I mean, you want a good example of domestic influencers helping Russia? Fucking Matt Schlapp with Sinclair Media. All of these buy-ups of these local affiliates by Sinclair, and then they're shoehorning all of this pro-Trump, pro-Red Hat propaganda into their newscast.
That's where the regulations need to come back, is the consolidation of all these media empires.
Yep.
And so, like, I just downloaded the Sci-Fi Channel onto my Roku to watch Resident Alien, which is brilliant, by the way. And they go other networks, and obviously Sci-Fi is owned by Comcast because Comcast owns NBC, and so all these NBC affiliates come up, and I'm like, oh my God, so many channels are controlled by one company.
Yep.
And when it used to be, you couldn't own X amount in a market as one owner.
Yeah.
And now it's no problem, and that's where we need to start breaking up these monopolies again. That when they're doing something, that's their words and not the words of the anchors who are being forced to read this bullshit verbatim across the country. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is what sexy liberal is doing. I mean, the best defense on these things is a good offense. It's to form counter coalitions.
Yeah.
That are, you know, lean and aggressive and will gather a following. I mean, that's, you know, it's part of community building. It's part of activism. Unfortunately, we don't really get checks from George Soros.
No, yeah, we don't. Mine have been so lost in the mail for so long.
I know. And I'm keeping mine as mementos. I've got the entire wall just papered with them.
So you wallpapered. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're only like 3 cents a piece. It's like getting royalty checks from a show that I did 30 years ago or something like that.
Oh, no. I get royalty checks from my sister's estate.
Mm-hmm.
So SAG sends them to me. And then I have to split them between myself, my little sister, and Carrie's fiance.
Oh, you're talking about actual royalty checks. I was making it up about the Soros
checks. Oh, no,
checks.
I do.
Okay.
And those actual royalty checks I have to split.
Yeah.
That to the point where some of them are like, you know, 15 cents. It literally costs them more to process the check and mail the check.
That's
then
the,
and then I get 5 cents that I have to then distribute the other 5 cents to each other person, respectively.
All right. Well, let's talk about the after party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth podcast, but this one is totally different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the crap we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party podcast for just $10 per month. And you'll also get two postmortem shows every week included in that level of support. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
pulled directly from the Enchantment Under the Sea dance from 1955, going way back. I'm joking, of course. This is
got that feel, though. I love it.
It really does. I Hate You, Just Kidding. My favorite band name in the whole world. I Hate You, Just Kidding. And this is a song called Dreaming from their Constellations album. And, of course, the website address, IHateYouJustKidding.com. Very easy to remember. Links in the description, of course, at BobSeska.com. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your stuff to the show. Please do that. Thank you so much in advance. Okay, let's see what else. Here we are on the Thursday show titled Russia's Butt Plug. Thank you for joining us today. Republican state attorneys general are suing to strip out chunks of the American Rescue Plan. Russia, Russians. See Russia. Down there?
That's apt.
Rush publicans.
Republicans, yes, I meant to say, but of course I could say Russians too. That makes sense. Republicans on the wrong side of history. Once again, the attorneys general take issue with a $350 billion pot of money set aside under the stimulus known as the American Rescue Plan to help cash-strapped cities, counties, and states pay for the costs of the pandemic. Republicans hate this. Congressional lawmakers opted to restrict states from tapping these federal dollars to finance local tax cuts. So here's the thing. Joe Biden and the Democrats say, here's $350 billion, states and local governments. Here, you can have this money to help with the COVID relief effort, but you can't use it to finance tax cuts. And the Republicans are like, what the fuck? No, we want to pay for tax cuts with this money. So they're suing the law. Attorney General from Arizona, Georgia, West Virginia, 18 other states called on the Biden administration to make it clear that they can proceed with some of their plans to cut taxes.
In the 70s, when President Carter mandated that if you want federal funding for your highways, you have to bring your speed limit down to 55 miles an hour on federal highways, not state highways, but federal highways. Now, his reasoning is the precedent that could the government, that the feds could say is what we should go by. But I don't know if they have a good, valid argument, because that would fall under commerce and interstate travel. And so, yes, the feds can control that. But when it's state run, unless those companies, you know, do business in other states. You know, especially if they give it to companies and not just humans. But say they give it to the Koch brothers, or they give it to, you know, the Walton family for Walmart. Well, they do business in other states. So that could be the argument that, no, you can't give a tax break to the Walton family due to the fact that they do business countrywide. So I think that that's really fucked up. See, I did it. I remember how to swear.
Awesome.
I think that that's really fucked up that any state would consider not helping local municipalities, their police department. They're defunding the police at that point.
I mean,
and fixing the roads that need fixing, and housing homeless people, hopefully, and feeding people that, and keeping restaurants closed so that they can, you know, stay safe. I just do not understand this.
So utterly tone deaf. They have no idea what they're talking about here. We're talking about the pandemic's been going on for a fucking year now. There are nearly 600,000 people dead. And it's part of the problem is because there's a lack of coordination. And there has been a lack of coordination between the states and the federal government. And so now Biden administration comes along and says, here's $350 billion fucking dollars. I mean, that's one third the price tag of the entire 2009 Barack Obama stimulus bill. And it's, that's a pile of fucking money. And now they're going, well, we're going to use it. We're not going to use this for the COVID. I mean, why? What, this pandemic? What is this? How do you even
spell that?
Yeah. What pandemic? We're going to use this for tax cuts. And
because those worked so well.
Yes, of course. Trickle down. They really are clinging to that trickle down thing, aren't they? They really.
The golden
really
shower theory of economics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just it just fills me with incoherent rage, guys. I mean,
me too.
It's like, what is your actual problem? People need help. The whole reason this has been such a problem is because you assholes were dragging behind the scientific curve with your superstitious, god-awful nonsense. And you're still trying to do... You know, I was on my way back from getting my shot yesterday, and I was thinking...
Oh, that's right. You got vaccinated.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. But I was like, imagine if the Trump administration was still in charge of this, we wouldn't be getting vaccinated for months.
Yep.
Well, I think the these, what is it, 21 states...
18, I think it's 18 states. Oh, no, 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 you're right. Now? 18, 19, 22. Yeah, 21. You're exactly right. Yep.
So I think what they are terrified of is this working.
Yeah.
And actually
exactly.
people seeing in their neighborhoods and in their counties and in their states, look, the roads got fixed after this past year. Look, mm-hmm. you know, this is working that way. Look, that's where they're terrified that.
Yeah,
I got a job. I didn't lose my job. Thank you, American Airlines, for not firing 13,000 people because of this. They're going to see that government can work, unlike what Reagan said.
Yeah.
And this is what terrifies them, because if this works, guess what? They will never get elected again. H.R. 1, beside the point, people will go, no. Even Republicans will be like, you wanted to do what? And look at what oh my God. They would take the $1,400 checks away from their constituents if they could.
Yep. And in fact, they're going heavy on all of the culture war shit, partly because they realize that middle to lower income families are going to be getting a guaranteed monthly income. $300 per child in a check every month from the federal government for at least a year.
That's what they can't stand.
And that is
like, oh my God.
They're terrified of that. So it's like, oh, look over here, Mr. Potato Head, and look at what Dr. Seuss is doing. And, oh, holy shit, the Muppets. And that's how they get these fucking suckers who watch Fox News show. They're like, oh God, yes, we don't want the Democrats in control any longer because, you know, the Muppets. It's like, oh shit, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Well, meanwhile, this is one of the things that needs to happen before any further legislation is proposed. And there's a bunch of stuff teed up in the House right now to go over to the Senate side and get approved there, too. But before that ever happens, God damn it, they need to reform the filibuster.
And yes, they do.
Joe Biden on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos said that, yeah, he totally supports reforming the filibuster, especially after McConnell threatened to go, quote unquote, scorched earth if Democrats move all legislation to a simple majority in the Senate. He said, I don't think that you have to eliminate the filibuster, Biden said, adding that he preferred to a return to the talking filibuster. And we all know what that is. It's getting to the point where, you know, democracy is having a hard time functioning. And that's absolutely fucking right.
There's another way that, besides a talking filibuster, instead of the majority needing to get 10, you know, from the minority to vote for it.
Yeah.
How about the minority have to get the 40 votes?
Right. Yeah.
Instead of the majority having to get 60 votes. Okay, great. You get 40 votes.
Right.
Because they sometimes don't have 40 votes. They have 35 votes. They have 36 votes. They have 32 votes. They don't have 40 votes. But the Democrats or whoever's in charge doesn't have the 60. So that's another way. Flip it that side. Minority, you want to stop this? Get 40 votes.
Yeah. And also, you have to be on the fucking floor of the chamber.
Talking. And it has to be about the bill, not the fucking
green
phone book, not green eggs and ham, not, you know, whatever, the dictionary from A to Z. No. You have to literally argue your side and why you are opposed to this bill.
And, you know, it's funny. Kimberly and I were talking about this right after we woke up. It gives you an impression, a little view into our relationship. Just as we wake up in the morning, hey, let's talk about the filibuster. We're still laying in bed, hair all fucked up and, you know, just like still groggy. And like, okay, it was about the filibuster. And then she reminded me this morning about all the different hurdles that Wendy Davis had to clear in Texas during her filibuster. Remember the word germane became sort of a meme that night because she had to stay within a certain boundary with her filibuster in order to qualify as continuing on with the filibuster.
Right.
And so they need to implement those rules. They need to be strict rules in terms of what is being discussed. Yeah. Make sure there's no leaning, no bathroom breaks, none of that shit. Make them stand and talk.
So you and Kimberly wake up speaking about the filibuster?
Yeah.
Okay, so three nights ago, actually. It was Monday night.
Yeah.
I'm asleep because that's what I'm doing. And I have this dream that I am on Sunset and La Cienega at this light.
Yeah.
And I'm in a car. I'm in the passenger side. And this van pulls up, right? And they kind of block the way for my car to move forward.
Yeah.
And these two guys...
In your dream.
In my dream, right? And these two guys jump out of their van. I think it was a VW bus. They jump out of their van and they start singing a song called Filibuster.
Filibuster.
And they're literally...
They might be giants.
I don't know, but they're literally filibustering me moving forward in my car by singing a song called Filibuster.
Okay, it's time for a vacation, Jody.
So they're literally
on a beach.
They were literally filibustering me in my car.
That's right. They were filibustering you in your car, making sure that you couldn't proceed.
Move forward, and they were singing a song called Filibuster.
Oh my God, that is so fucking cool. I wish I had a dream like that.
I woke up going, "Oh my God."
A musical number.
Yeah. I know. It was a total it was like out of the scene in La La Land where everybody just stops on the freeway and starts singing. For no apparent reason, and it has nothing to do with the film. It's like, what? And I'm like, okay, I'm way marinating in this shit too much.
That's so great. Now, Rocky Mountain Mike, or maybe even you, David, one of you guys got to create a filibuster song to go along with this story. That'd be so fucking great. The filibuster song from Jody Hamilton's dream.
General Custer.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I wish I was having filibuster dreams. You know what I'm having a lot of dreams about right now? I'm having...
Not having your mask on.
COVID mask anxiety. That's exactly fucking right. Where suddenly I'll be in a crowded shopping mall without a mask. And I'll be like, oh, shit. I forgot my fucking mask. And it's like, oh, where? I got to find a mask. And I'm looking all around trying to find a mask. No one else is wearing a mask either. And I'm like, oh my God, all these people aren't wearing masks. Holy fucking shit. And it's like this intense anxiety where it's just like a dream from childhood. Like I'm running from Godzilla or something like that. I'm trying to find a mask. It is the worst kind of dream to have.
I had this long dream about being in downtown Athens and like all the record stores were open and all my, you know, I was like seeing people and hugging people and hey man. And then I got like into the car and went to take off my mask and realized I had not been wearing one.
Oh shit.
And I was like, my vaccine appointment is on Wednesday and I got this close and I've probably gotten infected. And it just,
I had a real life instance like that where I hesitate to even tell this story because I don't like talking about stuff like this, but I always keep a little bit of cash in my car to give to homeless people on the street. Like if you're at a stoplight or something like that and they're there with a sign, I always like to have some cash for them. And so I went out to drop something off at FedEx the other day and I'm on my way back. And there's of course a homeless guy at the stoplight on my way home and the light has already turned green, but I want to give this guy some money. And so I stop traffic, basically, in that lane. People are honking behind me, and I start rolling down my window. I'm not wearing a mask, and the homeless guy starts coming over, and I'm like, oh, shit, I don't have a mask on. So he's walking toward me, and so I start rolling up the window again so I can grab my mask before I give him the money. And then he thinks that I'm not actually going to give him money, so he turns around and starts going back to the median strip. So it was like this whole, like, Three Stooges routine that was going on with just me and this homeless guy at this intersection. With a green fucking light and a line of traffic building up behind me. Oh, and also someone in the turn lane right next to me. So there was one whole lane that the guy had to traverse in order to get to my car. It was a fucking nightmare. No good deed goes unpunished. It was a mad scramble to get my fucking mask before I gave that guy some money. But I mean, that's...
Okay, I have a totally unrelated story that has nothing to do with politics or anything, but it still cracks me up. It's horrible. But, like, so back in Atlanta in the day, in the 80s, there was a club called, it was the only punk rock club, it was called the Metroplex, and it was not in a good part of town.
Yeah.
And so my two goth girlfriends, Kat and Lynn, of course her name was Kat, you know, Lynn drove this old granny shifter jalopy, and she always kept an ice pick, like, right where she could get to it, just in case anybody ever tried to reach into the car or harm her or anything. And then one hot summer night, somebody did. She and Kathy were sitting at the light, and this guy, like this junkie guy, just comes up and reaches into the car. And so she instinctively grabs the ice pick and pins his arm to the inside door.
Oh my God.
And he screams, and she screams and panics and stomps on the accelerator.
Holy
shit.
And
she's dragging the guy.
Oh my God, she's Batman. She's Catman.
Except Batman would panic and stomp on the accelerator because she didn't know what else to do.
Holy shit.
And they're like all three just like screaming. And then he just like fell off and he was gone. And then they drove as fast as they could.
Oh my God. Holy shit, that's intense.
They showed up at the club, like, blah, 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 like, just, like so, you know.
They show up at the club, like, with a guy's arm hanging off the side of their car.
And it was a bloody hook.
On that note, we shall take a break here. And when we come back, Dan Bongino, holy shit, talk about failing up. We're going to talk about that and more right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out. Unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I've got, they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Just feel like I don't belong.
Yeah, the golden voice of CeCe Grace. Covering the Carpenters here.
Oh, you're killing me. My mom used to sing me this song.
Oh, my God.
I love the Carpenters.
David, I'm sorry. This is Rainy Days and Mondays. The Carpenters from CeCe Grace's So Far Away, the Songs of the 70s album. CeCeGrace.net. You want to support her music. She's going through a hard time right now, so send some good vibes out to CeCe Grace, one of our favorites here on the show.
That's
a great cover.
She's
I'm
going to
download that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Go get it.
You know, I was a weepy kid, and I would cry.
You were a weepy kid? Are you serious? Really? I don't
Yeah,
that.
Really? No. And like my mom used to scoop me up when I would start crying and sing that to me until I would calm
down. Oh, man.
See, my favorite Carpenter song is Superstar.
Yeah, and I love the Christmas songs.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
Luther Vandross's version of that is just, like, pure R&B, like, titan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you've never heard it, find it. It will make you weep.
Oh, my God. Well, sending good vibes out to CeCe Grace. Moving along here on the Thursday show, of course, Republicans on the wrong side of history again. Congress voted 413 to 12 to approve legislation awarding Capitol Police and other law enforcement with congressional gold medals for protecting the Capitol on 1-6. All 12 no votes were, of course, Republicans. Womp, womp, womp. These fucking assholes. We're talking about Matt Gaetz, comic books. MODOK from the comic books. MODOK from the Marvel comic.
Just one of these days, he's going to be on the air, and suddenly a red light will start flashing, and a buzzer will go off, and his forehead will split open, and a nuclear missile will come out. We are DEFCON 1. You know.
That's
sorry,
right.
Congressman, you're a launch pad now, you know.
And it'll be a nuclear missile the size of the one from Weird Science. You know, the one that appears and flashes through the roof of the house. Yes, that one. Also, Louis Gohmert voted against this. Marjorie Taylor Greene voted against this.
Shocking.
Thomas Massie voted against this. Plus,
these are all people who would be stupid enough to vote in favor of cold sores. You know that, right? I mean,
my question is to the FBI: look into those 12 people. Perhaps they, because their problem was they didn't like the word insurrection.
Yeah, right.
Fuck them. Fuck them.
There you go.
Fuck them.
Fucking hell. Yeah. So also Biggs, Cloud, Clyde, Good, Gooden, Harris, Rosen, Stube all voted against it, rounding out those.
Stube! Don't be a Stube!
Yeah. Blue Lives Matter people are voting against, you know, the Blue Lives getting congressional medals. What a shocker there. Meanwhile, speaking.
I just want to strangle them until their tongues poke out and their faces start to turn cyanotic and be like, who's a Blue Life now? You know?
That's right. But meanwhile, speaking of giant bulbous foreheads, guess who's replacing Rush Limbaugh in his time slot?
Lord.
Fucking Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino is going to be the guy, and he's a fucking moron. Yeah.
Okay, this, as the Dowager Countess says, Yes. This is not going to go well. Because, I mean, first of all, when are they going to... I mean, I guess it is kind of progressive of them to hire someone for whom English is a second language after Neanderthal.
Oh, shit, yeah. Well, see, here's here's the craziest fucking thing about this. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh was an asshole, racist, chaos agent, all the rest of it, all the negative pejoratives that you can possibly think of, you could apply those to Rush Limbaugh.
He was a hell of a broadcaster.
Limbaugh. Yeah, one good broadcaster, yeah. Mm. And he knew how to actually speak in complete sentences. Dan Bongino... Holy God. It's amazing how dumb this guy is. The dumbest of the dumb. You know why he blocks and mutes so many people? Because it's so easy to just steamroll him on Twitter. It's so easy and so much fun. He's one of the easiest people to troll, to poke, to get a rise out of. And he's going to be 3 hours a day in that Rush Limbaugh slot. Cumulus Media's Westwood One is launching the Dan Bongino Show weekdays from 12 to 3. Rush Limbaugh's former time slot. Cumulus will air it on major stations and syndicate it to others. So, yeah, every fucking station on the AM dial is going to be Dan Bongino for 3 hours in the afternoon. And guess what? We didn't need to talk about him in order for him to rise to this level. That's not a consequence of people paying attention, like us, I should say, to Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino...
This is going to be such a train wreck, though. It may almost be worth listening to because it's like, we couldn't get Godzilla, but we've got a chicken from the farm down the road that we can maybe sit it, you know, like, get a shot.
He already does a very popular podcast. You know, he's in the top, whatever it is, top five, top 10 in Apple Politics, among all news podcasts, too. And I don't know if that's all legitimate in terms of all the downloads being actual people and not bots that he purchased. But still, it's very, 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 very popular, the Dan Bongino Show. And now he's... Now he's gone on fucking radio. But here's one thing I wanted to add. We were talking about Tucker Carlson at the top of the show and the John Oliver segment. John Oliver said something right at the top of that Tucker Carlson segment Sunday night that I stood up. You can ask Kimberly. I stood up and fucking cheered. I said, fuck yeah, listen to that. Because he said, you know, you might be wondering why I'm paying attention to Tucker Carlson. You might be thinking that I'm giving attention to Tucker Carlson and that that's going to increase his visibility and so on. And John Oliver said, no, it's not that. He's already famous. He's already popular. He's got the number one fucking show on many nights on all of cable. He is one of the most recognizable people in the entire news media going back decades. So nothing that we say about Tucker Carlson by way of calling him a fucking racist pissant is going to increase Tucker Carlson's Q score at all. It's not going to give him additional oxygen that's going to make him even famouser. He's already right. Famous is what John Oliver was getting at. So I felt a little bit vindicated when I heard him say that.
Those archive clips, though, it's like, God, you have always been the same chinless fat fuck, haven't you? I mean, just the same petulant little ass mouth, you know? Well, if you've heard this, God. The fucking frat boy haircut and the bow ties that he finally gave up at some point.
When
you realized that they were like, you know,
they were so teeny tiny though, weren't they?
He was still working on the look at that point, and his face was awfully big, like
puffy,
barn sized.
Tucker Carlson had a puffy face issue. When Tucker Carlson gains weight in his face and nowhere else, you know, he eats too many donuts, it goes right to his fucking face.
I'm the same way though.
I am too. As you can see from some of my pictures, it looks like, you know what my nickname was? My dad called me this when I was a little boy. Oh shit. I shouldn't say shit like this on the fucking show because then it becomes a meme. My dad used to call me Chipmunk Cheeks.
I was Chops.
Really?
Oh, bless your hearts.
What was your nickname again?
Chops. My dad gave
chops.
Me Chops.
Chops. Yeah, oh my God.
Chops. Yeah.
Because of your allegedly puffy face or what?
Soccer picture. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No,
I had a very round face and I had kind of big cheeks, and so I was chopped.
Yeah, I mean, I was the same way. I was born a very cute Korean boy, and that was, I swear to God, if you look at me, there's some pictures, man, where I just have giant moon face. I was a little boy. And then the bowl haircut, black hair, right. bowl haircut, true. Big round face, puffy eyes. No wonder.
But I want everyone to go to that picture of you from your soccer team when you were 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And look at the shape of your nose.
No, it wasn't when I was 10. I was 14, I think. I was ninth 14? Grade. Yeah.
Okay, but your nose and mouth, I was just like, he looks like Claire Danes' big brother. Like, seriously. Okay. Wow. No, go look at his nose and mouth in that picture and think about Claire Danes. I mean, it's like this, it's a little eerie to me.
But that's funny. Like, I've never, ever heard that before.
I never thought it either until I saw that picture because you know, your face has gotten a lot more angular and plain.
Yeah.
Like,
well.
That's funny. Because, yeah, I mean, I years ago when I finally lost all the weight that I had gained and I was buying cigarettes, I think, and I got carded and I was so excited. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
So the lady looks at my driver's license picture, which at that point was like 8 years old, and she looks up at me. She goes, oh, you've lost weight since then.
Oh, thanks for noticing. Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. I have.
I don't. I wouldn't even know how to take that.
You want to dance a little dance of triumph, though? Like,
it was a little dance of triumph, but it was like, yes, I have. Thank you for noticing.
I would have gone, thanks for nothing, lady.
I don't know. When I was she gave me the cigarettes, out a lot, so like nobody ever like tells you like you're like don't I look, do I look better? Hello, anyone? Hello, like I'm
right.
You know, dying for a compliment here. I guess yeah. Everyone's like he's already so swell-headed. You know, like I'm not even gonna go there.
Yeah,
but like you're desperate because it's a lot of work losing weight, Jody.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is a lot of work.
Ask Kimberly Johnson. How much work it is.
It's hard work, man. It's really fucking hard work.
And
anybody that says, oh, just do this or do that. No. Everybody is different, let alone everybody.
Yep.
And for me, food diaries work and walking like a crazy person, the circumference of the globe every day. So
walking like a crazy person means the distance that you're walking and not you have some sort of special
not
crazy walk.
A leg and a
I'm also crazy. I walk like I have a crazy walk. That burns more calories.
You're taking a long walk with your beloved on the beach, and then you realize you're actually just dragging a mannequin through a Wendy's parking lot. Yes.
Are you guys shaping me when I walk?
That's so fucking funny. Yes, that's Jodie Hamilton. Oh, look, Jodie Hamilton.
There she is.
Yeah, that woman looks very strange walking down the street. Oh, yeah, that's Jodie Hamilton doing her crazy walk.
It's just Jodie. No, it's funny. The other day, though, I went through, because I go through this one neighborhood, right, and I'm on the phone with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So I'm double masked. I'm on, you know, I have earbuds in, so nobody can really tell. And then this couple that I haven't seen in like a month or two, they're like, we thought you moved. Where have you been?
Yeah.
And my friend stopped talking. He goes, you're just so popular. I said, no, I'm just the crazy walking lady.
I got to tell you, yesterday I was sitting there in the 15-minute after shot period waiting to see if I was going to have a reaction to it. And this couple I know that I haven't seen in years, obviously, but they, especially after lockdown, came up and they were like, hey. And I was like, hey, Mary, hey, Joe. And then as soon as they walked away, I was like, is his name Joe or not? Like, and it totally was. Like, I got it right, but like in my, I had completely forgotten that sensation in the last year.
Oh my God!
Of like your brain just being like, "What is this person's name?" And
yes.
The floor falls out from under you. Like,
that is that
welcome
is
welcome back
often.
To reality, yeah. Brain.
Yeah,
you that incompetent, is, useless thing.
Welcome to my world, David. That is exactly what I do every time I say hello to someone. And it's someone I could have known for a decade and still be like. Oh shit, did I just call her Sharon? Why would I do that?
Why did I call him Sharon? What is that his name?
Okay, Postmortem Show coming up next on our Patreon page. Thank you so much for those of you who are subscribing. For the rest of you, what are you waiting for? Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Support the show for $5 a month. And you get the Postmortem Show that we're about to do.
Yeah,
right.
I'm
going to
spill some tea on this Postmortem Show about someone we mentioned earlier because I feel like I need to say my piece.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Mud is about to get flung.
Get ready for that. Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. See you over there, folks. And we'll see you on the after party tomorrow, too. Take care. Bye-bye.